on ABC Radio National. Vicky Kerrigan here with you. Scriptwriters, politicians, journalists, at some point in their career, may utter the words, "Never allow the truth to get in the way of a good story." And blending fact and fiction is pretty much run-of-the-mill for most filmmakers. So much of what we see on the big screen bends the rules of science, maths, even common sense in some cases. But one American mathematician is trying to get the film industry to portray science and maths more accurately. Dr. Jonathan Farley is the co-founder of Hollywood Maths and Science Film Consulting. Thanks for joining me in the deep end.
Thanks for having me.
Now, I understand that you were inspired by the success of films like A Beautiful Mind and Good Will Hunting to set up a consultancy. What was it in particular in those films that caught your attention?
Well, I love mathematics, being a mathematician, and I love movies. And so I thought, what interests could combine both? And so with Dr. Lizzie Burns, who is a biochemist at the University of Oxford, I decided to set up HollywoodMath.com.
So was there something in particular about A Beautiful Mind, which stars our very own Russell Crowe, the very angry Russell Crowe? Was there
he's not throwing any telephones in that movie, but I actually was inspired by these films because I knew the people who served as the technical consultants. So when you watch a movie, even movies like The Nutty Professor with Eddie Murphy, there are going to be equations scrawled on the blackboards, and somebody has to do that. And I thought, well, why couldn't that person be me?
So even a film which is a spoof, I suppose, something like The Nutty Professor, they try to be correct, mathematically correct, do they?
Well, they try to have something that doesn't distract from the main plot or from the main dialogue. And so, yes, they want to have, if the main character is a chemistry professor, even if he's Eddie Murphy, they want to have some chemistry on the chalkboards. But also, our company, HollywoodMath.com, has moved on from that sort of activity. We also have been advising an American television crime drama called Numbers. And this TV show involves a mathematician who helps his brother, who's in the FBI, solve crimes. And so for that, they contacted us and wanted us to look at a couple of their scripts to make the mathematician characters sound more like applied mathematicians.
So you actually help with the scripting in terms of the kinds of words that a mathematician might use. Can you give me an example?
Well, they want to know, for example, there is a phrase dealing with something from quantum physics. And they actually got it a little bit wrong. I'm a mathematician, but I checked with some of my physics friends. It turns out that they kept in the show, but we at least did our job by correcting them and letting them know what was up. But more than just the jargon, even though it is important, they also wanted to get from us the flavor of what a mathematician is like. So when I flew out to Los Angeles when they were filming one of the episodes, I met several of the main actors, not the mathematician, though, but I was told that the character who plays the mathematician, Charlie, in the show Numbers, likes to meet mathematicians to get a sense of how they think, how they act, even how they pace. How they pace, how they walk around when they're trying to prove a theorem, say. that's what we do.
How does a mathematician walk around when you're trying to prove a theorem? Because you've actually solved a couple of very complicated maths equations in your time, haven't you?
Well, I have solved some interesting mathematics problems, but I remember one in particular. This was a problem in lattice theory, which is my specialty, which was first posed by a mathematician back in 1964. And I worked on that one actually for a short time and then gave up because I thought it was too hard. And then 2.5 years later, it just suddenly came to me how to solve the problem. And so I guess I didn't do a whole lot of pacing the 2.5 years, but I did a lot in 1 week.
So that idea that we see mathematicians pacing around a room as they're trying to solve a problem, it is actually true. Does it help you think, really?
I think it does, and maybe there's some physiological reason for it having to do with circulation. I don't know. But I find when I'm really working hard on a problem, I'm not sitting down scribbling on a sheet of paper. I'm actually walking around thinking about how to solve the problem.
You said that, you know, as a consultant, one of the actors in particular that you've been working with recently, they want to know, you know, what a mathematician is like. And I suppose the stereotype is that you're all socially inept.
I've got to say that that is largely true.
Oh, really?
Mathematicians are a strange breed. I knew one mathematician who lived in my college at Oxford who always wore a tuxedo, a dinner jacket, like the penguin in Batman. And he actually wrote an opera set in Antarctica about the emperor of the penguins. He wasn't so successful as a mathematician, though, and probably not so successful as a writer of operas. But that was not an atypical mathematician.
You're doing quite well, though, Jonathan, conducting this conversation with me.
I try.
We're speaking with Dr. Jonathan Farley today here in the Deep End on ABC Radio National. Jonathan Farley consults movie makers and television makers on how maths and science should be represented in film and on television. Is there a culture of mistake spotting by scientists and mathematicians? Do you like to swap stories about how badly you saw something being portrayed in a film, something of your field?
Well, actually, since up until recently, mathematicians weren't seen at all, I think mathematicians are glad when they see any type of mathematics on screen, even if the mathematicians are portrayed as being these inept nerds or these crazy people, especially since these stereotypes are largely true. But I think that there is a culture more generally of nitpickers. And one thing I like to emphasize is that we're not a group of nitpickers, because we know that you shouldn't disrupt the magic of movies with jargon that's too heavy. What we want is for filmmakers to actually get the culture right, not because audiences will spot the mistakes necessarily, at least not consciously, but because audiences are more sophisticated now, and they no longer want to see mad scientists like in these movies from the 30s where they have these white lab coats and are hunchbacked and have electrodes flashing lightning everywhere. So they want to see more accurate portrayals of mathematicians and scientists. And I think we actually see the results of that at the box office and with the Academy Award nominations of these films.
Mm. Look, what are some of the most famous mistakes that have been made on film?
Star Wars is a big movie that's out. And in the first Star Wars, Han Solo refers to parsecs not as a unit of distance, but as a unit of time. But if you have a movie where there's an explosion in space, even though in space no one can hear you scream and hence no one can hear you explode, we wouldn't have much of a movie, right? We don't want to have Charlie Chaplin in space or these silent films.
There's also the Superman. There's a new Superman movie coming out. I think in the original Superman, doesn't he actually fly rings around the Earth so fast that the world starts to spin backwards, which obviously is completely impossible, is it not?
That was not only implausible, it's completely ridiculous, but he flies around the Earth spins backwards, and then time reverses. And scientifically, that's silly, but come on, it was a great film, right? but I think more pernicious examples of bad science or bad history come from recent films or films that came out in the last couple of years, like U-571. And in this movie, the Americans are once again winning World War II, all on their own, I guess. And they steal the Enigma machine, the device that the Nazis used to create their allegedly unbreakable code. And this isn't how it happened. There were Poles, there were Czechs, there were English people who helped actually steal the Enigma device and break the code. And as far as I know, the Americans didn't have anything to do with it, except take the credit. And there are other films like, there's a movie called Enigma about the same situation. And in that film, there's a character based on the mathematician Alan Turing who falls in love with Kate Winslet. But the real Alan Turing was gay, and he probably would have preferred maybe Brad Pitt.
Well, you know, the truth should never get in the way of a good story. Isn't that what they say?
I think it's true. So,
do you actually aspire yourself to one day star in a film, or would you just prefer to consult?
I prefer to stay in the background, I think. Although I might actually try my hand at some writing.
Oh, okay. We look forward to a more truthful depiction then of a mathematician in an upcoming film soon. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Dr. Jonathan Farley is the co-founder of Hollywood Maths and Science Film Consulting, making sure that the film industry gets its sums and the science right on the big screen.